Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Monday, January 6th, 2020. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 396. There's no guest. It's just me sitting on my couch, post shower, post first workout of the year, getting back at it. I'm gonna try to focus. If you're a big person, if you're a fat person, you're overweight or whatever you want to call it, however you want to fucking sugarcoat it, if you go back to the gym, you go back and you keep your head up. You put your Natalie Imbruglia song on that you want to listen to, and you get in there and you work out. Don't worry about those other people that try to judge you because you're coming back after a long time. Don't worry about them. Let them lift out all the stuff from their childhood and to keep them that way, and you deal with your shit, you know? How about that? Hold your head up in there if you're just coming back this week. Oh, man, I've been without French fries for a few months. I think I said back in November, maybe possibly before Thanksgiving, that I gave up French fries. It's been a few months, and shout out to Keith Blair, who's checking up on me to see if I've partaken in any French fries. I have not. I was at Fuddruckers. God, when was I at Fuddruckers? It was a couple of months ago. And instead of, I got my burger, but instead of getting a burger, I got a nice side salad, and it was really good, actually. And I think that had to be November, because Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came out. I had something there. I had a sandwich there, and I got a side salad instead of fries. And their fries are actually really good at the Alamo Draft House. So I did that, and I was thinking to myself over the weekend, I think I need to give up McDonald's for a while. I just need to just let that go for as long as I can. If Bill Burr can stop drinking for a year, I'm going to not eat McDonald's for a year. Shit. Maybe. Let's see. Because McDonald's, people always say it is bad for you. When McDonald's, sometimes you pay a lot of money for these burgers and they taste like shit. McDonald's on a good day, like, is one of the best fast food burgers you can eat. Like a double cheeseburger, triple cheeseburger, extra pickles, onions, and mayo. Not mayo. No, extra pickles and onions. That's what I like. But I think I'm going to give that up for a while. I can't keep doing this. I just want to see what life will be like without that for a while, because I love McDonald's, and that's the go-to when I haven't eaten anything for dinner, and then I come home late from doing a show or being out. I'm going to stop. I'm stopping it. I was at the grocery store Saturday, and I like turkey burgers. Turkey burgers have always been in the rotation. My favorite turkey burgers, and I think I've talked about this, I oscillate between Jenny O and Butterball. Not the flavor one, because they try to spruce stuff up with the flavor. You can just put a little pepper or a little bit of salt or whatever type of seasoning you want to put on the burger, and it's fine. But I just like the regular. So I'm going to just go with that. If I want a burger, I'll go to a place like Fuddruckers for a treat. I'm just not going to do the quick and dirty, side of the road McDonald's shit. I can't do it anymore. And that'll go for like Wendy's and Burger King. The last time I went to Burger King, I was like, oh, I should go to Burger King. Was not good. I think it's just the Burger King that's near me that wasn't that good. But I need to just chill off of that and just try to get, because I'm going to be 40 in almost a month, you know, a little over a month. So I just want to see, what is it like if I don't eat that shit for a while? And I've lost weight before. I can do it again, but I just want to be a little more healthier and conscious. I want to be more aware of the shit that I'm eating and just kind of like fall back a little bit and make some of this stuff. I can make a good turkey burger. I made like some salmon last week. I've been liking that, but I don't want that to just be, even though I need more of it in my diet and I want more of it and I like it, I need to have other options. So I think for the most part, I just want to focus on trying to eat more at home and cook stuff at home and just not be lazy and, you know, and like kind of lay off like sandwiches and shit. They should be more of a treat than something that I do. Like I used to just kind of have a sandwich, like, you know, like from the deli or something, or in the office cafeteria. I don't know, but I'm going to work on this shit. So yeah, I think McDonald's, I've said it on the podcast, so now I'm not going to edit this out. I'm not going to restart the pod over again. I think that's what I need to focus on. And as I say this, there's a Wendy's commercial where they got 4 for $4, junior cheeseburger, double stack, and all some other burgers that they have. And it looks so good, you guys. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So, and like, yeah, I'm going to be better. What are you going to do, guys? Tweet at me, email me. What are you going to do about your getting better? So, oh man. So I hope everybody is having a happy new year so far. You made it to 2020. If you're listening to this, you're above ground. You made it. A lot of people didn't make it to 2020. I went to a funeral last month and it was not good. It was just like, it put stuff into perspective, and it's just you kind of have to thank your lucky stars, count your blessings, whatever you believe in. Be happy that you made it on the other side of the year, of the decade. You made it to a new decade. You know, so it's something to be thankful for, because Facebook is full of people's relatives and that did not make it, relatives and friends, and just seeing, you know, oh, it's been a year since you've been gone. It's just been like, it's just really fucking sad. But that's life. Death is a part of life. But yeah, and I reposted the I let you guys have a Patreon episode of the late great Angelo Lozada last week. You know, that one I had to fix the audio on that, so sorry about that. If you're listening to this and you didn't get into the audio when you first listened to it, it's fixed, so you could hear Angelo, but you couldn't really hear me. And I mean, he was the most important part of it. The subject, the interviewee, is the subject is always more interesting than me, but you have it in both your earbuds and both your speakers when you're listening to it. So it was a good conversation, and I was happy to share it with you guys. And I'm glad that I made the effort to really sit down and talk with him. And it is something that I'll cherish, and you'll get. And also, if you go back to, if you're a friend of this podcast and you like Paul Verzi, you hear me talk about Verzi all the time. There's an episode that Angelo did on the Verzi Effect, which is Paul's podcast. And it was also very funny from a few years back. I think it might have been 2012. But yeah, he was a very great, he was a great comic and an even better human being. So yeah, okay, let's not have this episode be any more sad or morbid than it needs to be. So we're 10 minutes in. Wow, this past week was good. Comedy, I got to do stand-up. And I hadn't done stand-up in a little over a month, I would say. I did a Firehouse show in, I guess you could say, Central Jersey, not far from Rutgers. I guess you could call that Rutgers area, New Brunswick area, Central Jersey. I don't know how it works. But some people even call that North Jersey. I don't know. Mid-North, Central, North Central. I don't know. But it was in the Rutgers, New Brunswick area. And I did fine. That was cool. But over so a week ago, a little over a week ago, the good homie Jeff Cerulli had me at a show at New York Comedy Club. It was just a showcase show, and it was on a Sunday night. It was right after Christmas. It was packed, and I was nervous. I think I went on second, and I had fun. It was a good show. I think my timing was off at the beginning, but I was just kind of apprehensive at the beginning of the show, beginning of my set, and then I just eased into it, and those people were like lubed up and ready for a good time. So that was fun, and it made me remember after the stuff that I went through, like, it's so harrowing. I don't know. The holiday Christmas wasn't that great for me. And obviously when you're dealing with my uncle passed away, and I'm more concerned about my mom than anything. Her youngest brother passed away. He would have been 70 this past Saturday. And it was an unexpected thing. I think I talked about this on the Patreon, but you know, it was just not overall, it's great seeing family, but for the most part, it just wasn't the best of holidays for obvious reasons. And dealing with stuff like that and just getting back to my world and what I do, what I've been doing for the last 10 years, 10, 11, almost 11. Yeah. 11 years. Was very helpful to me. And I know, you know, this is a stand-up acting artistic leaning podcast, but I hope people listening find what it is that you like doing, that you like to cultivate, and whatever brings you joy and you're not hurting anybody else, you know, like, I hope you find that and kind of, you know, keep you, do you take solace in it, or embrace it, you know, and remember, like, it just made me remember, like, oh yeah, I love doing stand up. I love being around most of these people. And I know you can always shit on fucking show business, man. It's fucking, and I complain about it with my friends all the time, but that was a moment that was just like, oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I keep wanting to get better at. And I had to remember that. I think in life you always have to kind of check yourself in a lot of ways and be like, oh yeah, this is what I do. This is who I am. This is who I am, Mom. Yeah, so that was good. And then last Friday I had a show at this place called Black Barn Cafe. It's right inside Chelsea Market. It's just like this swanky bar and restaurant, and it's like you can go have a nice dinner and drinks and then buy peas somewhere. I don't know, you could buy a quilt or a scarf or some shit. I don't know, but it's nice. And it's one of the homie Royce Wynn, who's a Merlin, DC Merlin homie. And I think he just had that show for a couple months. He has a show at this bar called The Third Man in the Lower East Side on every Thursday, which is a really cool spot. And this one's a little new. This one was kind of like, it was open. It's kind of open. And some of the people like don't know that there's going to be a comedy show. And I went up first. And one of the things about this, like, I don't know what it is with people comics that come to shows late consistently. It's like some shows you'll get a lineup and the booker will tell you, you know, you go on at 8:15, you're going on at 8:30, blah, blah, blah. If you got any constraints, let me know. We'll work it out. And with this one, like I think it was just me and Royce for a while, and it was nearing 8 o'clock. Like, what are people doing? Yeah, you could be running late and stuff like that. But I just noticed that, like, it just seems like maybe people, like, they don't want to go on first. It's like, yo, as hard as it is to get stage time in the city, like, you're a New York comic. It's a show on Friday night. Regardless, you're getting paid. Regardless of how much it is, you're getting paid. You're doing a spot. Show up. Show up on time for the fucking show. Like, what are we doing? And then those same people will say, how come I'm not doing this? How come I'm not doing that? Show up. Show up. That's like a weird prepubescent Seinfeld voice crack. You know? I don't get that, man. If I'm late, I'm like, hey, I'm messaging the booker. Hey, I'm running late. Everybody can be late. But everybody's late, you know, but my God, the nonchalant attitude that some people have about showing up to these shows are really, it's mind boggling to me. So I did this. I went on right after the host, and he brought me up and forgot one of my credits. He's like, I forgot the credit. And then I just kind of shitted on him for that. And I cracked them open. It was fun. I made them laugh. It's one of those, it was like this gig that I did a couple years ago in Troy, New York, that where it was like this, I think I did talk about this before. It was at this place called Slide and Dirty. And they specialize in sliders, like mini burgers and sandwiches and all that shit. And stuff that I just talked about that I shouldn't be eating, and I'm talking about it now. But that was in the past. It was like 4 years ago, almost. And it was just open air. It was just like, it was so loud. This one was really a nightmare. But I ended up winning them over because I was like loud and like just made them pay attention to me. And that's kind of what I did with this show, but not as forceful. But it was I had a good set, and then I walked outside to go to celebrate the aforementioned Jeff Cerulli's birthday. He turned, happy birthday to Jeff. He had a little get together at Barcade. I'll get to that later. And I go outside to get in my car and go party it up, and my car's gone because my car got towed. And I did not see any fucking signs. And as soon as I walked out, I was like, my shit got towed. And I look, and there's a officer writing a ticket to somebody. And I was on like West 16th. And on the west side, apparently they get your ass. They don't just give you a ticket. So you get a ticket and you get towed. The ticket's $95. And the tow to get your car out of the impound is $188. So I was like, fuck. So I catch a cab over to the impound, and it's just like, I'm like, fuck me. I didn't want to spend this money. And I'm just like, it was my fault, but I didn't see the sign. Like, and it's Friday, usually on Friday in most places in New York City, if it's Friday and it's past a certain time, it's past 8 o'clock, like you're not supposed to be there. But she said the sign was like, no commercial vehicles at all. And the sign was like obstructed. You couldn't really see it. And then I was like, ah, fuck. Cause I was sitting in my car. I think somebody saw him. I think they probably saw me in my car, and then they probably told my shit when I left. But that's how this fucking city makes money. They might make money off these fucking working people. Oh, I was sad. I was sick. I was real sick, too. I was like, oh, my God, are you fucking kidding me? And I had to take a cab. And the cab driver was basically, he was trying to get over, too, because it should have been like a $6 or $7 cab ride. It ended up being like $10. He amped it up or some bullshit. I haven't been in a cab in a long ass time. I ended up tipping him a couple bucks too. So it was just, It was bad. And so I get in, you go in there, and like they treat you like you're a piece of shit. That you get to, what do you need? This, this, and this, and this. And I was just, okay, I will get that. And it's in, and they, and if you don't have your registration on you, you have to go to your car, and they drive you to your car, but you have to get in a little mini, a Ford, you get like a New York, it's like the short bus of police cars, a little short traffic car. That's it's a Prius, and you get in the back, and then they take you to your car in the lot, and you got to get your shit out. I was like, oh my God, I hope my insurance and everything is in there. Cause you don't really think about it unless you get pulled over. And I haven't gotten pulled over in a minute, knock on wood. And I was just like, oh shit, I hope my shit is in there. And me and this other guy that got a ticket was, you know, getting our shit. And then after that, I just basically was like, yo, this is what it is. So I can't change anything. They got all the power. They got my car. And it's just like another day from them, because that's what they do. They get people's, they tow people's shit, and they make you pay. And you got like 30 days to pay your ticket. So I got to pay that. It's just I've been fortunate enough to be here almost 13 years and not get towed. I've gotten a ticket before. I've gotten a couple of tickets, but nothing, no tow. So this is, it's like another welcome to New York. Even though I've been here for a long ass time, I was kind of like thinking about that Taylor Swift song, "Welcome to New York." I don't know why, as I was getting towed, and I hadn't heard that song in years. So that was it. It pissed me off, man. It fucked me up, and I was upset about it. But I wasn't gonna let them show. I wasn't gonna give them my frustration, because one of the ladies who came off as mean, because I think they have to be that way. Like, they kind of have to be assholes, because they're dealing with this shit for however long they're working a day, and you're dealing with the public, and these people are obviously upset because their shit got towed. And it's just, I just like, I was as mad as I was just like, okay, yes, ma'am. And, there was one guy, I didn't hear him at first, but it was me and this Mexican guy, and they took us to get our like registration and insurance. And they're like, yeah, let these guys. And I didn't know how long I was going to have to wait, but the whole ordeal lasted. It was under a half hour. Might have been like getting to the place was like maybe 5-10 minutes, if that. But actually being there and getting processed was like a half an hour. If it was longer, it might have been 45 minutes. And so me and this Mexican guy get in the back of the car, but as we were leaving, she was like, the lady that was at the desk was like, yeah, let these guys go first, because this other guy is going to be a problem. It was like some dude, and I didn't see them. I was like, I wonder who they're talking about. And then after I got my stuff and we came back from our cars in order to get processed, the guy, it was a white guy yelling. He was like, oh, so I can't just get my car? I can't. He was just yelling, and he's like, I came up here from Virginia. I mean, my wife is at the hotel with my daughter. He was just like going on and on. And I felt like he could have got his shit and left, but he just kept complaining. And it was like, dog, you could get your shit. You could get your car. Just pay him. Like, you're not going to get out of it. I don't know how to fight that. I don't know, but he was real extra. It was just too much. It was too much for a Friday night. It was like Friday at like, probably like 8:45, something to 9. I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? It's not that you got towed. You're out a couple hundred bucks. It's the spoils of being in New York City. I mean, it's just a byproduct of getting fucked. Like, New York City is going to get you no matter what. The city's going to, it's going to take something from you, you know? So he was just going ape shit over that. And the lady was like, oh, you're the lady that, like, tells you can go and checks you out is like, oh, you're so nice and you're so mannerable. I was like, well, it was my fault, you know? I didn't, you know? And I was like, yeah, I was doing it. She's like, how'd you get told? I was like, I was doing a show. I'm a comedian. I was doing a show on West 16th and I didn't see any signs. And I was like, oh, you're a comedian? Tell me a joke. I was like, nah, I'm not going to tell. I was like, this will be a joke eventually, but just not right now. I was like, I'm sad right now. So, oh, a comedian's supposed to be like, I was like, nah, I'm sad right now. My car got towed, so I had to pay for it. So I don't know, but older Chris, I guess maybe like a younger Chris would have been bummed out and would have just gone home and been sad. But I was like, fuck that. I'm going to Jeff's party. I'm going to Barcade and see some people. I'm not going to let this shit ruin my night. So I went to Barcade, and I had never been to Barcade. Barcade is like a bar with an arcade, hence the name Barcade. And it's a couple of them around. I think there's one in Manhattan. There's one in Brooklyn, I believe. And I believe there's also one in Newark. I'd never been to this franchise before, but I remember being in Cleveland at the Accidental Comedy Festival. What is that? 2015. God, that's like, damn, that's 5 years ago, man. But that was a really fun festival. Shout out to Ramon Rivas and the Accidental Comedy crew. I did that, and I think like it might have been while I was waiting to do a show, or I think I had time to kill on the second day or something like that, and I just found this place as I was like, oh, this is cool. I actually went to this retro, I went to this used record store, and then I went to that arcade place that they had, and I beat Ninja Turtles. I just spent the whole time playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. This time around at Jeff's thing, I didn't play anything. I just hung out and talked to the other comics and everything like that, and just hung out and chilled and talked about The Last of Us. Look, man, I'm really worried. I hope we don't go to war, or nothing happens even worse than it's already happened. I don't want to die before The Last of Us Part 2 comes out. I hope I live a long life, but I don't want any. I can't. I want to see this game, and I want to play it through. The thing in entertainment that I'm most excited about this year. I would say, other than that, the new Selena Gomez album coming out this week. Rare is the name of that album. I'm actually excited to hear that, because I like the songs that I've heard, and just something new, something mainstream to check out. And I like, what else? Really, it's just The Last of Us Part 2 and the new Christopher Nolan movie right now that I know of. Those are the two big things that I'm excited about. And Tenet is the name of the new Christopher Nolan movie. But I don't, when is it coming out? It's coming out in July, July 17th, my grandmother's birthday. Rest in peace. So that's a ways away. We'll get into some of that. What else? I'm talking about getting towed. Barcade was fun. And then I chilled there for. And I was talking to the homie, texting the homie D Lemon, and he was like, I was telling him I got towed and everything. He was like, yeah, you kind of get PTSD after that shit, because you don't know, and that's real. That's real as fuck. Like, are they gonna tow me? Oh shit! And you know, that day, like, it was such a perfect Friday. Put in some good time at work, handle my business at work, do my thing, get off. Have to be in the city, so I'm not going home, because I'm an old guy. If I go home, I don't want to go out. So I go into the city to catch a movie. The movie's at 4:15. I get there in time. talk to my parents, have a decent conversation with my parents, go see the movie, try to use the, I paid for my parking. It was like, I think you could do like two hours or something. What I like to do when you, cause they have meters that you swipe your card and then you go in, and then you, you do your thing. You have a certain amount of time. It notifies you when it's time to, you know, you could put more money on. Some let you do that. Some don't really let you put more money on. But anyway, the way you could kind of beat this buck the system is you pay for, you pay for with your credit card and you get the slip, you put it in on the dashboard of your car. And then when it's about to run out, you use the app and you extend your time. But the app wasn't working. And so I was nervous when I got to my car because I didn't want to go out and miss the movie. I'll talk about the movie later. And, you know, I just didn't want to get a ticket. I was like, oh, thank God I didn't get a ticket. Then I get a fucking ticket and I get towed the next place that I stop. Oh, but I didn't let it ruin my weekend. Saturday, what did I do Saturday? Went to the grocery store. I saw Little Women. We'll get to that. I was trying to think if there was something else that I wanted to talk about. Playoffs. We got three black quarterbacks in it. Deshaun, what a hell of a play, Deshaun Watson. Magnificent play to end that game in overtime with getting cracked by two defensive players, still stood up, made the play. Amazing. We got Russell Wilson in the Seahawks. So, and we got Lamar next week. So it's going to be good. I'm going to be excited about that. I had a show scheduled to do a show on Super Bowl Sunday. I didn't realize that the Super Bowl was February 2nd. And I was like, oh shit, I was telling a coworker about that. And he was like, man, my ex-wife made me take her out on her birthday on Super Bowl Sunday. And he was talking about it, like how it was just dreadful. And it was when Philly played the Patriots. And Philly went, that was like that might have been 03 or 04. Whatever Super Bowl that was where Donovan McNabb threw up and Terrell Owens like busted his ass and played really well. So when we were talking, he's like, yeah, you know, I had to go out. It was me and another friend. We double dated and everything. And his friend was kind of mad at him that they went. And then he said his ex-wife was mad because he kept getting updates from the waiter. And I was like, how long did y'all stay together after that? And he was like, 2 months. They stayed together 2 months after that. And 2 months after that, they fucking broke up. That was a funny story. Yeah, so I'm excited about the playoffs for now. And I got an email right after I had that conversation. I got an email. I got an email saying, hey, can you reschedule? Can we reschedule because we're going to cancel the show on Super Bowl Sunday? So I got to figure out if I can still do that show. Golden Globes, I did not watch. I'm going to talk about the winners with JL this week. So that's going to be a Patreon episode. And Awkwafina won for The Farewell. She was terrific in it. And she's a friend of the podcast. I said this on Twitter that a lot of people that have been on this show have gotten the mundane festival bump. I haven't, but a lot of people that have done this show. And that's what I'm saying. So if you're a listener and you're a comic and you're an artist or whatever, and you listen to this show, if I ask you to do the show, it's going to help you down the line. We have a Tony Award winner, Katrina Link, that was on the show. After she did the show, she started like, she won the Tony Award for Best Actress for The Band's Visit. And you had Awkwafina that won Golden Globe last night for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy. And then, was it Best Actress in Musical? Oh, shit. I don't want to mess. I think it was for The Farewell. Let me see. Golden Globe winners. This thing, the Google thing is always kind of weird when they do this. Yeah, actress in a musical or comedy motion picture. The Farewell, even though it was not a musical or a dramedy, I guess. I don't know, but she was great in it. And people, every time they talk about her little black scent or whatever, I don't know, maybe, you know what? Maybe it's because I'm not even going to say I'm BFFs with her. I've talked to Asian people with it about it. I've talked to black people about it. I'm not going to change on it. I think it's just about people that you like, because Chet Hanks was speaking in Jamaican or island patois, and people were going, oh, he can come to the cookout. Oh, and she does something for a character. And the whatever the crazy rich Asians, and people are like, I sure black scent, and they're mad. They just don't like her. So you can't make everybody like you, and people are going to feel the way that they want to feel about it. And so it goes. I saw somebody, Netflix posted like Wesley Snipes, and oh, look at the Wesley Snipes dapper or whatever on the red carpet. And someone like, he's a piece of shit. He beat Halle Berry and she can't hear now. Fuck him. And everybody, you know, it's, you know, I don't know if that was the right place for that, but it's Twitter and people can do whatever they want. But I said this before, if you want to see a good movie, The Farewell is good and she's very good in it. I don't have any ties to her than just that she did the show. I actually did a podcast festival with her. I think it was in either 2014 or 2015, this podcast festival. I think the New York Pod Fest. And I was on there. Awkwafina was on there. Claudia Kogan was on there from Last Comic Standing. Been trying to get her on for a while. Claudia, come on the show. I'm telling you, come on the show. And that was fun. And she was on there. I've been to Pretty Little Liars parties with her, because she's friends with the great Chelsea White, and Chelsea produced Girl Code and all that stuff. So she's a colleague. We're not BFFs, but I was very happy and very proud to see that she was on. She did well in this movie, and she won a fucking Golden Globe. How awesome is that? How many of you can say you know somebody that won a Golden Globe, or you kind of were in the, you know, that's pretty fucking neat. And she did this podcast. And I think this is a good ass podcast, you know. I think, shout out to Nick Jew. She called me the black James Lipton. I'll take it, I guess. I would like to go for a younger Elvis Mitchell, because Elvis Mitchell's, I like James Lipton, but I like Elvis Mitchell as an interviewer. He's one of my favorite interviewers, because he'll talk to you and like, what about this when you did this thing in this movie? Oh my! And then the guest is like, oh my God, you remember that? Or I didn't even think of that. Oh my God, maybe that's because your character was kind of doing this thing, and you know, it was different, and it's just like, oh yeah, maybe he was. Like, he knows more about your character than you do and shit. But he's great. I like him. I like Terry Gross also. Rogan can have a long conversation with people like we normally do. I was talking to the homie Jim Search. Shout out to Jim Search of the Swatches and Boomboxes podcast. Also a friend of this podcast. He does that podcast with Neil Charles. Also a friend of the podcast. Anyway, why did I bring up Jim? We were talking about stuff. Oh my God. I lost my train of thought. We were talking about music and we were talking. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. I said, yeah. Jim was like, yeah, I want to do your podcast. I was like, you've done my show. I said, yeah, God, you got to come back on. But I was like, yeah, I think when you did my podcast, we talked for almost 3 hours. And that was probably like a Rogan-esque conversation, like a long conversation and stuff. So I'm not afraid to have those. I'm not opposed to those long conversations, but I'm just saying, man, people have gotten a bump, man. Shout out to Ray Sani, who's a television writer. She's at the DC Draft House this weekend, you know, headlining. Sarome Russell is opening. It's going to be a good show. She did the podcast afterwards. A couple years later, she did Montreal. Now she's in LA writing for TV. I am just saying, there's a few people, there's quite a few people. Let's see. Leah Nanako Winkler. I'm saying Leah Nanako Winkler. She was already successful before she did the show, but then she wrote on Rami, which won, Rami Youssef won the Golden Globe for best actor in a musical or comedy. She wrote in that, wrote on, she was on that writing staff. She writes for New Amsterdam, which I was on an episode of, episode 4, if you gave a shit. I played the role of Lucas. Yeah, man. So I'm proud of this show, and I'm proud of the people that have been on and have rocked out in their career. It's so fucking cool. I've had two Grammy winners on the show, JB and Van Hunt, Golden Globe winner, Awkwafina, and Tony Award winner, Katrina Link. And so, yeah, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, what else do I want to say? So we talked about that. Let's talk about, yeah, Golden Globe. I didn't watch, but JL and I will talk about the winners. And then later on, if not later on this month, probably early February, after the Oscars, I'll have Jeff Cerulli and JL Covan, and I will do kind of like our top 10 films of 2019. We'll do Oscar predictions. Maybe I'll even try to bug Aisha Harris. I did text her a couple of days ago. And she'll probably be like, Chris. Aisha Harris was on the show. She was working at Slate after she did the show a couple of times. After she did the show, she got hired by the New York Times. I'm just saying, she's a cultural editor. I'm just saying, Young, this podcast, Young, is like, it's got something around it. So that's some stuff coming up. I got some other conversations that I'm excited to have, and that I will try to make happen within the next couple of weeks. So let's talk about some TV. We'll talk about some movies. I got two movie reviews, and I'll talk about my favorite albums of 2019, my favorite music. I'll give you my top five. Okay, so television. Okay, I should have queued this up, and I thought, I'm good, I think. Okay, so for New Year's, I didn't really do anything. I ordered a pizza and some wings, and I had some pizza and wings, and I had an adult beverage. I had some Jim Beam, honey Jim Beam, and some ginger ale. And I thought to myself, I had it planned out that I just bit the bullet and went with Disney Plus. I signed up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to binge watch The Mandalorian, and I'm going to have an adult beverage, bring in the new year, and have a good time. I didn't do that because I did the adult beverage, but I started watching this show called Cardinal. And Cardinal is a BBC. No, it's a Canadian television, is a Canadian detective series, and it's on Hulu. And I'll read you this Google blurb. I haven't read it before, but I'll read it. Cardinal is based on the novels of crime writer Giles Blunt and focuses on Detective John Cardinal and his partner, Lise Delorme. The two detectives investigate crime in the city of Algonquin Bay. Such ones include the murder of a young girl. Cardinal works to right past wrongs that could threaten his investigations and his career. The clock is always ticking, and Cardinal has to race against the sands of time to save the killer's next victims. This is good. So this show, currently there's 3 seasons on Hulu, and I watched them in like 2 or 3 days. Each season is 6 episodes, and they're about an hour long. And it stars Billy Campbell and Corinne Vanasse. And I found out about the show through Corinne Vanasse because she's very pretty. And you know how I am. And I was like, oh, she's hot. What else has she been in? She was on God Friended Me, which I have to watch tonight. I recorded that. So she had an arc on God Friended Me. I was like, I like her. She seems like she's very sweet. She's beautiful, beautiful actress. French, I think she's French Canadian. She's born in Canada. Anyway, she's great. And I was like, okay, she's on the show. So what did I do? I found that the show was on Hulu, and I just like, you know, saved it to the queue. And then for some reason I couldn't sleep New Year's Eve, and I went to work New Year's Eve, and I was like, let me just start watching this. I shouldn't even be doing this shit because it's a heavy show. It's like murder and shit, and I'm watching it at 2 a.m. I'm like, I shouldn't be watching this shit, but I started watching. I was like, oh, this is good. I don't think. And then I was like, I had plans to watch The Mandalorian. I don't think I'm gonna do it. And so when I get back from work and I'm chilling, I got my adult beverage, I'm like, let me just rock with Cardinal, man. And I enjoyed it. And shout out to Leah Bonema, who's at the Borgata this week. Very funny lady, friend of the podcast. She actually, Leah's been on the show, and she won some stuff. She talked about it the last time she was on. She won a bunch of like awards for her short film or television short or something. If you go back to the episode, you know it. And she's doing well. She's killing it. And she and I both have a love for these detective shows, and we really get into them. And I was like, hey, I was like, the show Cardinal, you should check it out. I sent her a link to the, like, maybe like the trailer or the like Google page where it explains everything. And she was like, oh, this looks good. And then she started watching it a couple days later. She's like, oh, I'm into this. I like it. So, I mean, you got my vote. You got Leah Bonema's vote. It's good. I really dig it. If you like Luther, Collateral, Marcella, you'll probably like Cardinal. So I really dug that. And then I did watch The Mandalorian. Mandalorian, I enjoyed. I really like the special effects. I don't know. This is like, it's so, like if you have a 4K TV, it just looks so real that it almost looks kind of fake, but not in the way that a show that doesn't have as much money would look. It just looks like they're doing the show, like they're taping it. And it looks like a live feed. That's basically what it looks like. Like it kind of like you're watching a, I guess maybe a soap opera. Maybe kind of has that soap opera effect. I've tried to adjust the TV and stuff, like the different formats of the TV and the like cinema or TV or Vivid or HDR type, all that stuff. It looks great, but I really like the special effects, the CG. I don't even know. They use a lot of puppets, which is really cool. Like Baby Yoda's he is a puppet. It's a very slow build, but when it starts to pick up, everything, like there's a good payoff. It's very satisfying. A lot of people call it like a spaghetti western, and it's got that vibe to it. And even Bill Burr's in it, one of my favorite comics. And he was funny. It's funny seeing him do that. They need to make a Mayfeld action figure. That's his character's name. Star Wars Black Series needs to make a Bill Burr Mayfeld action figure, because I know somebody did a thing, like put it on his website or they sent it to him, but they need to go with the hardcore because it's actually a cool character with his guns and stuff that he has. Yeah, so that was cool. A lot of great guests. Carl Weathers was fucking fantastic. Like, he's great. He's like 70, 71. Just fucking killing it, dude. He's great. Giancarlo Esposito's in it. Really good. I enjoyed it. It's worth it. But now I don't know what else to watch on Disney Plus. I don't know. A lot of people canceling after The Mandalorian, but I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know what else I'd get into. I'm not a really big cartoon person. I watch Toy Story and all that stuff. I enjoy those, but I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm not sure. I recommend Cardinal and Mandalorian. Movies. I got to see two new movies this week. I went to see the first movie I saw on Friday. I saw Clemency, which is a film starring Alfred Woodard. It is, where are the other stats on here? Alfred Woodard, Aldous Hodge, and Wendell Pierce. I wanted to see all the, directed by Chinoe Chukwu. What else has she done? Is this her first? I think she favorited the tweet or something. She's done maybe like a lot of indie films, it looks like. And I would say Clemency's kind of indie. It had like limited release. She's directed some stuff. I don't know if these are features. She did Sorry for Your Loss, the Facebook series. Oh my God, excuse me. I'm so sorry, guys. I was up at 4 a.m. Sorry for Your Loss is a Facebook series with my girl, Elizabeth Olsen. The rest of these have been kind of shorts, and then some film called. She's a newish filmmaker and a black woman. It's good. I liked it. It's a movie. Let me read you the blurb here to give you some perspective on what's going on here, guys. Years of carrying out death row executions are taking a toll on Warden Bernadine Williams. As she prepares for another one, Williams must confront the psychological and emotional demons that her job creates. This is really good. It's one of those films that's like it's essentially a character study of Alfred Woodard's character, who's this warden that deals with death row inmates, and it happens a lot. She's dealt with it for years, like the description says. And she's got a marriage that's kind of on the verge of falling apart if she doesn't get her shit together. And normally you see a character like this, it's normally a man that's dealing with this turmoil and inner, like this personal struggle and all this stuff. Like the marriage is fucked up, the job, shit's not going right with the job, and she drinks, and it's all this stuff that you mainly see men deal with. And it was really interesting to see Alfred Woodard, because she kind of wears her emotions on her sleeve. She's not histrionic. She's just like, you could see her, this character, like she could break at any time. And it was very fascinating to watch her. Wendell Pierce plays her husband. And it's just good. It was just a really solid character study. Aldous Hodge plays a death row inmate. He plays a death row inmate. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's definitely, if you're looking for something amidst all the Oscar movies, if you've seen them all, you don't have any interest in them, when this goes into wide release, I would recommend seeing it. If you just want to see some really good acting, you know, it's very good. And Saturday afternoon, I went to see Little Women. Greta Gerwig's Little Women. I'll read you the blurb. Also, Clemency is 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, and 77% on Metacritic. All passing grades. Little Women, okay. In the years after the Civil War, Jo March lives in New York and makes her living as a writer, while her sister Amy studies painting in Paris. Amy has a chance encounter with Theodore, a childhood crush who proposed to Jo but was ultimately rejected. Their oldest sibling, Meg, is married to a school teacher, while shy sister Beth develops a devastating illness that brings the family back together. And they basically told the whole movie. I was apprehensive about seeing this because it was just kind of like, I'm not a big fan of period pieces at all. And I kind of go, the more that I think about it, it's like what Rod said. I think sometimes Hollywood makes these period pieces so they don't have to put black people in them. And so they don't have to worry about too much about diversity. And any of these people of color can just be ancillary and just kind of be in the background. But Greta Gerwig is a fucking masterful filmmaker. And she makes a story like this that I remember as a kid. I don't know if I read the book, but I remember seeing the story, the cartoon stories on Nickelodeon. And it used to be a cartoon series. I just remember this story. Like, I don't know how the song went, but it ended like, with Meg, Jo, Beth, and Amy. And then right after that, the Adventures of Tom Sawyer came on. I remember that song. It was like, me and these are the stories of Tom Sawyer. Me and Huck Finn is playing by the river. Chasing that steamboat's the only way to be. I want to be free. Something, 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 something. That's me. I don't know. Maybe that was HBO, or at one point I was watching both those shows. And did they have Jim? Did they have Nigger Jim in that? I think his dad, Huck Finn's dad, was like, no, Injun Joe was the bad guy. I don't know. Anyway, so I remember that, and I remember seeing different versions of that. I just remember like Jo cut her hair, and this movie stars, it's a star-studded cast. It's like Avengers for white people, for white women. Saoirse Ronan, Emma Watson, Florence Pugh, Meryl Streep, Laura Dern, and Timothy Chalamet. It was good, man. It's a good movie. I posted a picture. I posted a tweet a couple days ago saying like me before watching Little Women versus me after watching Little Women. It was the homie. What's the kid's name? The kid that plays Tariq on Power is a picture of somebody photoshopped Michael Rainey Jr. plays Tariq, and it's a picture of him as Tariq with a koofy photoshopped on his head, where I was like, man, fuck this shit. Basically me like, man, fuck this white people shit, man, fuck that. And then me after watching it was a picture of him smiling, like, because it was a good movie. It was so pleasant. The way that she structured the film with flashbacks is like, oh God, you're having flashbacks in a period piece. That's interesting. And oh, we see the character growth, and we get this, everything kind of fits together. And you know, she was saying low key woke shit, like in the school. They were like, oh, your father fights for the union and blah, blah, blah. And they said something, I think Florence Pugh's character said, yeah, we should all be ashamed about slavery and stuff like that. And then it was another point where Mrs. March, who's played by Laura Dern, was like, yeah, we should be ashamed about this and all that stuff, which really like they didn't have to do, but they touched on it. She had quite a few black extras. There was one black character that was like a porter I don't think he was a conductor, but he was he worked on the train, and he was like, oh, ma'am. He had some lines. She gave a black dude lines in this ultra white movie. And I was impressed. I was funny. Like, I normally didn't get, I didn't get to sit where I normally sit when I'm in the theater. I like to sit in the back left end or the right end. And I had to sit like by the handicap seats. And I got a seat that was like off by myself. Nobody was sitting in that row. And then I always look at the app to see if somebody's sitting by me. I just don't like, I'm a snob. I don't like people sitting by me. I'm just, I don't know. I like if I don't know them and they could be weird or something. I hate that. Maybe that's something I need to talk to somebody about in therapy. I don't know. But I don't like that because they try to. Okay, so I'm sitting there and I have the seat because I bought my ticket like the night before. And when you get your ticket, you know, you can see who's sitting in certain spots. So I see where somebody got their seat right next to me. I was like, I got to sit by somebody. And this middle-aged white woman comes in and she sees me sitting down. She tries to look at her seat like to make sure that I'm not in her seat. No, you picked this seat right beside me. I'm not going to touch you. I don't want your money. I'm not going to steal your purse. I don't want anything from you. I'm trying to see this Greta Gerwig movie. Like, you think I'm going to rob you or try to at a Greta Gerwig movie? Get the fuck out of here. I hate that. Shit just makes me so angry. It's like, you're by yourself. I'm by myself. You know? Ugh. Good movie, though. I was impressed by it. I do recommend it. If there's, like, this week I'm excited about Underwater. I think that's going to be fun. I think, you know, usually January, early January through the end of February, really dumping grounds usually for movies. But ever since Chronicle made money in like 2012, I believe, that's when people started to, hey, we're going to try to put something good out. You know, we're going to try to not put a clunker out. I like Kristen Stewart. TJ Miller is in it. He hasn't gotten canceled. He's still working. You know, people have made Alec. I don't know if he did anything. I'm just saying people was trying to cancel him a couple years ago. I see where he's headlining at Levity Live this weekend, and his new movie's coming out. He's the star of a new movie, and he's been killing it. So, yeah, he has not gotten canceled. what else? So I'm excited to see that. So I'll probably see that this weekend. Maybe that other movie, Like a Boss, with Tiffany Haddish and my girl. I always get her confused with Rachel Weisz, but it's not Rachel. And I love Rachel Weisz, too. But Rose Byrne. Rose Byrne and Tiffany Haddish. They have this thing at AMC called Ladies Night Out or Girls Night Out or something like that. And you get to see the movie a couple days before it gets released. If I can use my Stubbs pass, I will go see that on Wednesday night. I have no problem with seeing that. Yeah, but other than that, obviously Bad Boys for Life comes out next week. I'm excited about that. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But Little Women, I dug it. It was very entertaining. I think I dozed off once, but it wasn't really because of the movie. I think I had gotten up way too early. I got up earlier than I needed to, and I just kind of like dozed off a little bit. So that's that. And let's wrap it up with some Muzak. Was it anything else I wanted to talk about? I hope we don't die in the war. I hope people don't have to, any more people have to fight than they need to, you know? I hope not. Everybody know, you guys know what you did, you 53%ers. That's like people saying like, oh, women, we gotta do, that's why everything. Women vote in their, and they did vote in their interest. Like Michelle Williams, love her to death, generational great. But, you know, you got to tell them white women to not, you know, vote for those people that you don't want to see in the office. Okay, that's me being political. All right, so music. some of the my favorite music of this year. I'll give you the albums. In no particular order. You know what? I'll do it by order of when they came out. Toro y Moi, Outer Peace. Loved it. Came out in January. Short, to the point. You can listen to it all the way through. So I really love that album. Big fan of Toro y Moi. I've been enjoying him for close to 10 years now. What came out next? Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, Bandana. That's like hip hop album of the year. That's like Freddie Gibbs even says it, album of the year. Really great. I like how Freddie Gibbs talks about how Madlib just really pushed him to the next level to be great, and the emotion that he shows, like he's cried in a couple of interviews, like talking about Madlib, or just like seeing being with him. Like there's like an interview that he was doing this past summer where Madlib surprised him or something, and he started crying. It was written for a hard motherfucker like Freddie Gibbs to be crying and shit. I was like, holy shit, man, this is incredible. It's like what your work, what art can do, man. Like, he brought the best out of him, and I hope they continue to collaborate. You know, he's been having a good year. He's like a good couple years with that Freddie album that he did with the like Teddy Pendergrass looking cover, and Fetty, the project he did with Currency. Yeah, man, he's really good. But this Bandana project, terrific. Little Brother, May the Lord Watch. Obviously, I raved over them when the album came out late last summer, early fall. Terrific, man. It's just like these guys, they're just so good at this point where they're 40 years old. And it's like I always say, like how me and Verzi would talk about having a good set. It was like, man, it's like I was just talking to him, dude. Like when you're having a good stand-up set, it's just like you're talking and you're just killing with that. You know, and it's like these guys are so good that it's just like Fonte and Big Pooh are like just talking to us, and it just happens to rhyme and be over a dope ass beat. My favorite record is Black Magic. I mean, I was thinking about like, this album, I was talking to a buddy about, I said, these guys have like a banger that you could just walk on stage to? And he was like, yeah, Black Magic. I was like, of course, of course, of course. I love that song. It just made me feel good. It's very nostalgic, very without really pandering to. It made you feel like if you were a new listener, you could get it. And then if you were a fan from day one or from a long time ago, you really appreciate it. Like the Easter eggs and stuff that they left in the album. Really, really great. Moonchild, Little Ghost. Moonchild, I just found out about them about a year ago, and you know, you've heard me talk about them so much on this show. Got to see them in concert around October. This is just a really terrific album. They're great. Like I said before, a couple months ago, if you get the chance to see them live, they're incredible. They just had an NPR Tiny Desk concert. That gives you a vibe of what they sound like live and stripped down. And they also feature other artists and constantly talk about other dope people that they collaborate with. Like, it's some dope people that they collaborate with that they had open for them while they were on their US tour. And they're just like, they just seem like really cool, down to earth people. Little Ghost, very good. I think my favorite record off there would be Everything I Need. It's just a fucking nice song. Yeah. And then on previous projects, I would say The List is really good. Cure, Runaway. They got some joints. And then lastly, rounding it out, I'll go with Gallant, Sweet Insomnia. Gallant has just this amazing voice, this amazing falsetto voice that the homie Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres put me on, because I think he just, I was up like early one morning going, getting ready to go to work. He had posted a clip of Gallant on, I think, The Tonight Show, I believe. And I was like, damn, this guy's good. And I look him up. I'm like, oh, he's from Maryland? Like, what the fuck? And this guy's got an incredible voice. And his first album, Ology, is good. Like, he's just like a, he's really good. He's got an NPR Tiny Desk concert that really, like, it's like, you know how, like, you see, like, you listen to somebody, like, oh my God, this guy is great. This guy, I like this dude's work. This, his album is good. And then you see him live and you see him do something stripped down like a Tiny Desk. And it's like, this motherfucker sounds even better with less bells and whistles, you know? And so that's Gallant. And I would say this album, Sweet Insomnia, it's tight. I think it's under 40 minutes. Let me just check just to be sure. Sweet Insomnia. I want to see how long this thing is. It might be like 35 minutes. And you know, you 10 more. If I could find the Wikipedia page, that would help. But now it's just being so, it's giving me everything that I don't want. Man. Can I look at, I can look it up on Tidal, I'm not sponsored. Gallant. This is compelling podcasting right here, folks. M 35 minutes and 22 seconds. Yeah. Yeah, I really dig this, man. I like, he's got songs off this that I really like. The intro is really cool. It's like a song, but it's like a really quick intro. But it's like a song that kind of stands on its own. It's just really tight. But what is my favorite record off of this? Panasonic, I really dig. And I really dig this song, Compromise. I'll compromise with you. Sabrina Claudio, who I talked about a couple months ago. She's good. She's in the, that's a duet that she did with him. He also did a duet with Sinead Harnett on Related Stuff. It should be here. Now that I'm looking for it, it's probably not going to be. I fucking hate that. I hate that. Because you knew that I was looking for it. Tidal, you knew that I was looking for this, and you're going to be acting like this, you know? Yeah, let me see. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find the name of that song so I can tell you, so you can look it up. The record is called Pulling Away. So Sinead Harnett, Pulling Away featuring Gallant. So really two great duets, Gallant and Sinead Harnett, and Gallant and Sabrina Claudio, Compromise. He also played homage to Genuine, and he did a video of that. See, I gotta wrap this shit up. I've been talking to you guys for an hour and 30. What? You guys got lucky, I guess, maybe. What is this? Oh my God, I should know the song. Sleep on it. Sleep on it. Definitely. Sounds like a song that Genuine would have done in his heyday, and he had Genuine in the video, so it was really cool. It Gallant. So I've given you five. I haven't really, like, I've vibed out to some stuff. I've told you stuff that I've liked, you know, throughout the year, but this past year. But if I have to, like, I mainly listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff. So, and then when I was talking to Jim Search on Friday, I was like, yeah, this is my hip hop pre-show playlist. And it's like Mos Def. It's like, it's really good. It's a great playlist, but it's not any real new shit. You know, it's not any like new guys or gals. And I did like Sky Zoo and Pete Rock, the Retropolitan. That was Sky Zoo and Pete Rock, right? See, now I'm going down a rabbit hole that, oh God. Retro. Yeah, it is Retropolitan. Sky Zoo and Pete Rock, Retropolitan. Yeah, okay, I'm not crazy. So we've got Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, Bandana, Toro y Moi, Outer Peace, Little Brother, May the Lord Watch, Gallant, Sweet Insomnia, and Moonchild, Little Ghost. So I hope if you check those out, let me know what you think. And that will be it for the podcast this week. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys. And I will talk to you next time. Peace.